Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Paul's, and a special welcome to our visitors who are worshiping with us today. By this time in March Madness, most people's bracket has been blown up. Didn't see this upset coming. Oh, wouldn't have ever picked that. But today, not a day to be upset. Today is a day to rejoice. It's the beginning of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. Hosanna to our King. We'll worship using the order of service as it's printed out before you in your full worship folder, also projected on the screen. We'll begin with our Sunday school anthem. Thank you. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature, and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He has sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palms in his path, so may we always hail him as our King and follow him with perfect confidence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson today, taken from Zechariah chapter 9, there's not a lot of rejoicing going on among those Israelites who had returned from exile. As they saw the temple, the new temple being built, just wasn't as impressive as the old one. And they became very half-hearted in their worship. So Zechariah spurred them on, "We need to finish building the temple. And look, rejoice, your king will come. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second lesson from Hebrews chapter 12. There's not a lot of rejoicing going on among the Christians there in Rome. They were being persecuted and tempted to turn back to Judaism, the old religion. Yet the writer to the Hebrews pointed them to Jesus. As Jesus approached Holy Week, he rejoiced because he went to the cross for you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel for today, Mark chapter 11, and will serve as the basis for our sermon. Don't just listen to the rejoicing. Join in your hearts and lives. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" The gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, your King, who comes to you again today. Amen. God's word we consider in the sermon, the gospel from Mark 11. Let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. The kids in our communities here are so blessed. A little over a week ago, the high school basketball team from Kiel, their community gave them quite the send-off. There were police cars and fire engines and horns blaring and sirens wailing and crowds lining the streets, cheering and shouting. So happy for them. What a send-off to go to the state tournament. And it's not just in Kiel. Here in Howard's Grove, too, back in the fall, when the girls' volleyball team was going to the state tournament, the same thing. Students and staff, they lined the hallways at the school as the team was loading up onto the big coach bus. And there were emergency vehicles lighting the way and sounding their horns, escorting them out of town, giving them a send-off to the big tournament. What amazing support. What great cheering. Rooting for their team, rooting for their kids. How blessed the kids are in our community. Today, we have an opportunity for another send-off, an even greater send-off. One of our own, at least he became one of us, and he grew up among us. And he went to represent our community and every community and every person in the whole world who ever lived. He went to stand in front of the highest leaders in his land to face off against the cruelest of adversaries and to win for us. And today we get to echo those cheers and those hails and that acclaim and that applause, all eyes on Jesus for the big send-off. Blessed is our coming King. He's coming to use our service. He's coming to receive our praise, and he's coming to save his people. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, he sent two of his disciples ahead of him to go and retrieve a certain colt. Jesus didn't send all of his disciples, just a certain two. And we don't know which two they were. But when Jesus asks his disciples to serve him, he asks just the right ones. Ones that he has determined according to his perfect will, and ones that he has gifted and blessed with just the right gifts for that service. Notice in this instance, with these two disciples, there's no complaining about the service that Jesus sent them for. We don't hear anything about, well, why doesn't Andrew have to go? He hardly ever does anything, Jesus. There was no, well, why can't I just stay here? I would really rather just stay here where I can watch Jesus as you do your next miracle and just be amazed. I'd have to go on some errand. No complaining whatsoever. And so for you and me too, when Jesus calls us to serve him, there's no need for complaining. We can serve him humbly and gladly and diligently, just like these two disciples did. What an honor it is to serve the King. Jesus, the King, the Lord of all, he knows all things. He knew exactly what those two disciples would find and what would happen. He knew what the people who owned that colt would say and what they would do. Jesus knows all things, and he used the owners of that colt in his service that day as well. This shows us that we can't hide anything in our bank accounts or anything in our inventory of all of our possessions from Jesus. He knows the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And just as those owners of the colt, when they found out the Lord needs it, well, by all means, go ahead, take it. It's all yours. They gave it freely, willingly. They let it go in service to the Lord. But they also heard one other thing, too. The Lord will bring it back here shortly. Whenever the Lord asks us to give in service to him, he has ways, sooner or later, in one way or the other, of paying it back, of refreshing our supply. God tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, that we will be able to abound in every good work, having all that we need at all times, being thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Lord will always see to it that we have just enough and even more so that we can continue to use what we do have in service to him. And even that colt, such a humble creature, such a lowly animal, yet such special service in honor of the king. Jesus used that colt to fulfill Zechariah's prophecy and to carry himself to his people. You and I are an awful lot like that colt, humble creatures of the Lord. Yet he uses us in service to his word, in fulfillment to prophecy, as a way of helping carry him to other people. When you support gospel ministry with your time, with your efforts, with your abilities, with your offerings and resources, the Lord uses that to fulfill his word of making disciples of all nations, to fulfill his promise of coming to other people with the gospel. He's their king. He rules for them and saves them too. What an honor it is to serve the King. Blessed is our coming King. He comes to use our service, but he also comes to receive our praise. There in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, the tension was thick. It was heavy and high because the Roman government was on high alert for any hint of rebellion or revolt. Each year around this time, at the Passover time, Jewish nationalism boiled up, and the people were looking for a Messiah to come and overthrow the Romans. There was an increased military presence in the city at the time. Herod and Pilate were there, stationed at the city, on the ready. At times like these, there were usually crosses lining the roads to and from the city, oftentimes with criminals up hanging on them, to let everyone know what the price is for going up against the Romans. They were swift in carrying out justice and putting down rebellion and slow to ask questions. The Jewish leaders, very nervous too at this time. After all, if a rebellion did happen, they were likely to lose what limited authority that they had there in Israel. Yet through all of that tension, cut through the air all around Jerusalem, was praises. Hosanna, blessed is he. Here comes Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, just as Zechariah had prophesied. There were crowds ahead of him and behind him. Everyone had heard about Lazarus whom Jesus raised from the dead. Everyone had heard about the other miracles Jesus was performing, like giving sight to blind Bartimaeus at Jericho. And they rushed to the fields to cut palm branches and scatter them in front of Jesus. Many of them took off their outer garment, their cloak, and spread it on the road in front of Jesus. This was not just an accident or caught up in the moment. This was intentional. This was a custom for welcoming a king, such as King Jehu in the Old Testament, laying cloaks out in front of him and fulfilling Psalm 118, a messianic psalm that spoke of the Messiah's coming. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. The people that day shouted the highest praise because they praised the Lord by echoing his promises to them and how he fulfilled them for his people. So that was one miracle of praise, that the people, amid all this tension in Jerusalem, praised the Lord anyway. Another miracle was that Jesus received their praise. If you read through the rest of Mark's gospel, so often when people thought Jesus was the Messiah, he said, don't tell anyone. He was keeping a low profile, wanted to fly under the radar to wait for the right time. He oftentimes told people, don't spread this around until later. But now is the time. Everything was lined up according to the Lord's and Jesus' plan. It was time to let loose on the praise, to shout their hosannas. And Jesus received these. Now is the time for us too. In our lives, there's all kinds of tension going on. There always is. Difficulty with another person, or impending loss or harm, or some sort of physical condition or problem, or tension within your family. There's always tension. But right now, today is a day for praise to cut through all that tension. Your King has come to you. Jesus comes to you once again to receive your praises. He is here for you, and there's no tryouts for this choir. Cry out to your King. Call out in praise. Acclaim him as the Christ. Join the crowds today and praise your Savior. Blessed is the coming King. He comes to receive our praises, but he also comes to save his people. As the crowds shouted their praises that day, we don't know what was on each of their minds, but there was a mistaken idea among the Jews at that time that the Messiah was going to come and set up an earthly kingdom, drive out the Romans, and usher in a period of prosperity and comfort for the people there. We know this because the disciples themselves often thought that way. Yet this urges us to consider, what mistaken ideas do we have about Jesus, the King who comes to us? That he comes so that we can gather to praise him a couple few times a year and then go and live our lives however we want the rest of the time? That our King comes to us to help us to be better people, primarily, or to show us mostly how we can love each other and get along with everyone else. Is that the main reason why our King came? Or that he came to teach stories and songs to little children, but then as we grow older, we don't really need that stuff anymore? Did our King come so that we could have a more comfortable life and easy and nice all the time? Make no mistake. You and I were born outside of God's kingdom, and if we think for a minute that we can live from week to week without our King, following him, trusting him, in obedience to him, we are as good as dead and deported and doomed. Shut outside of God's kingdom forever. No, it was precisely for what we needed him most that Jesus came for us. He came to save us. And whether or not the crowds that day realized the full implications of it or not, what they sang, what they shouted, was absolutely correct. Hosanna is a word that meant, save us now. Please come and save us. Blessed. Blessed means well spoken of. And that's what Jesus was. He was well spoken of by the Father. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. As Jesus came to Jerusalem, he came with the Father's full blessing and backing to carry out that mission of saving us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. To come in the name of the Lord means to come in line with everything that the Lord has spoken and signed his name to in the scriptures, in line with God's word. And that's what Jesus came to do, to fulfill everything from the Old Testament. In the name of the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. Jesus came to Jerusalem to become our guilt, to be punished for our sins. Jesus came to Jerusalem to forgive wickedness and rebellion and sin, all in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Jesus is that eternal king promised to be a descendant of King David. Jesus came to Jerusalem to be flogged at the hands of humans and to be punished by the rod wielded by humans. Yet the Lord never took his love away from Jesus as he did from Saul. Jesus came to Jerusalem as the eternal king to save us from all of our unspoken and unenthusiastic praise, to save us from all of our unoffered and unwilling service, to save us from the doom and damnation that we deserved. Save us by his death at the cross. Jesus comes again today in bread and wine, together with his body and blood, to bring us the salvation once again that he won for us once and for all at the cross. There is no one more deserving of our praise. Blessed is he. We speak well of him too and acclaim him and hail him as our king. Comes to save us. As the communities around here send off high school teams to the state championship, I would imagine that sometimes we old-timers wish, what it would be like to be on that bus again, to be heading off to the state championship, to compete, to go after it. But our time has passed for those things. Or maybe other athletes in high school or the younger ones long to be on that bus, headed off to the big tournament, but they didn't earn a spot on the team. It has to be that team that goes to the tournament. As we cheer on Jesus today, it has to be Jesus that goes. It couldn't be you or me. We couldn't make the cut. Only Jesus could go the distance. Only Jesus could finish strong and win the victory and also share it with you and me. Because he hung on a tree for us, we get to hold a palm branch in eternity. Because he became a curse for us outside of Jerusalem, we get to be blessed in the new Jerusalem. Because Jesus' garments were divided there at the cross, we get to wear a white robe, Christ's righteousness, and bless him forever. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. He comes to use our service. He comes to receive our praises. He comes to save his people. So yes, blessed is he. Blessed is our King. He comes in the name of the Lord for us. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We praise our King using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Continue with prayer. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for leading Jennifer Hacker to accept our call to teach third and fourth grade starting next school year at St. Paul's. What grace that you provided so quickly for our ministry. Please bless her family as they transition to our area. And Heavenly Father, please be with your servants who are dealing with health struggles this past week. Connie Keither, who was hospitalized after a fall, and also Erwin Eichhoff, who is hospitalized and recovering from pneumonia. We praise you for watching over them through these issues and for granting improvement. Please continue to bless their recovery according to your will. And we join to pray in our Savior's name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always."
Thank you.
Please be seated for the communion distribution. And if you're visiting with us today, please also note our practice of close communion at St. Paul's.